Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the KGNC Agribusiness News Hour. I am Shannon Gray, and as I promised, we are back with Texas Corn Producers Executive Director David Gibson. And David, thanks again for being with us.
Yeah, good morning, Shannon, and glad to be with you again today.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always a good day when I get to talk to you. You've always got great information for our listeners, really. Let's start off with kind of a Texas corn crop update. I know the WASDE report came out a week or so ago. So we'll just kind of start there today.
Okay, well, we'll just kind of I'll kick off with some thoughts from around the state and then with some things on the high plains. We're just about to begin harvest down in the Van have on a few fields in the Rio Grande Valley, and we'll be in the Coastal Bend probably next week or week after next harvesting. While we are wrapping up planting in some of the counties up here on the in the Panhandle and north of Amarillo, so we are really needing some moisture here on the high plains. Central Texas has a good crop in the ground. They had good moisture early, and now they've turned off hot here and really need some rain in order to finish their crop. Projection from my standpoint is that we're going to wind up kind of average, assuming we don't just stay exceedingly hot, dry, and windy through the rest of the summer here on the high plains. So kind of a normal year, some good in some places, some bad in some places as far as our state's crop. But we should be finishing planting here on the high plains within, if they're not real 99% done today, they will be by the end of the week or the end of next week.
All right, great. Yeah, and what did that WASDE report show for us?
Well, in general, for corn, it come out a lot as expected. The negative to it is the large carryout that we've got for corn projected for 2021 crop is showing about 3.3 billion bushel carryover. And earlier in the week, I was visiting with Mark Welch, who's the grain economist with Texas A&M out of College Station. That puts us with one of the highest carryovers we've had maybe ever, or going way back into the 80s or 90s when we had some carryovers up at that number. And that really potentially puts pressure on our market going into harvest. And that's a combination of lower demand for corn from the ethanol side, the fact that we have so many acres in the ground here in the U.S., and the bulk of the Corn Belt is really looking at high potential crop. So a lot of factors in this that weren't a surprise to the market, but certainly pending some increase in exports, getting ethanol plants all back to running, keeping our feedlots full, the poultry houses full. This big carryover number is going to put a lot of pressure on our market going into harvest.
Yeah, and let's talk about those factors a little bit. I think, obviously you mentioned there the demand dropping for ethanol. A lot of these factors can be traced back to this COVID-19 pandemic. Do we know what the impact has been as of this year, anyway, on the corn market in relation to that situation?
Yeah, Shannon, as we kind of look at some of those impacts, the University of Illinois has put out a document that National Corn Growers had just worked with them on, and it was saying that probably for an average per acre, which breaks down different for everyone based on their production, nationally, it was about $50 an acre for the 19 crop with the price decline that's hit the corn that was carried over. And as we're looking at the price for the 20 crop, they're saying on a national basis, these lower prices, there's going to be more like an $89 per acre loss from what was expected. Of course, that's based off of the national average yield, which we have some acres in Texas that are much above the average national yield and some that are below. So for an individual farmer, that could vary, but just on an average, those are some pretty staggering numbers whenever they're going to come up that short and eat into their capital for their operation. The big thing that weighing on that is, like I mentioned, right now it seems that our exports are going to run fairly close to normal. But in the ethanol industry, where normally we've been using 5 billion bushels basically a year, that's 5 billion with a B, we're going to probably wind up this year, even if we pick back up, if gasoline demand picks back up to the point that all of the plants go back to running, we've probably already lost about 20% of that usage, which is why that carryout number is going to be so big, is we just didn't use near as much in that industry. And that was not just reflected in corn, but that reflected into where oil prices have been. And that all went back to people staying home, not driving, the time we were really inactive. You know, for about 3 months there during this year, we were way below demand for gasoline and gasoline usage, and that spilled over into, you know, really affecting our corn market. And then, of course, the price being paid for cattle has impacted some, the amount of cattle into the feed yard, problems in the slaughter industry, backed up not just cattle, but poultry as well, and that's caused problems with some demand there as well for corn. So the impact of the COVID-19 is really spread across our agricultural industry real big. And, you know, when we go to thinking about on a national average $80 or $90 an acre loss based off of market factors that were came from COVID, it's had a real impact on agriculture and is real big on our farmers here on the High Plains and across the state of Texas.
Yeah, and with that, David, I wanted to ask you, especially for our listeners who maybe aren't from an agricultural background, we're talking about the impact of COVID-19 just in the 2020 growing season, but really this is going to impact us into future marketing years as well.
Right, and, you know, there's projections that this big carryover caused by the current year is going to impact the 21 prices and ultimately the mixture of crops that go in the ground. And, I mean, it's a long-term effect on our agricultural producers and especially on our corn producers whenever we go to looking at these nearing $90 an acre loss for the 20 crop. And, you know, it'd be easy to project a $50 to $80 loss per acre again going into the 21 crop. You know, of course, hopefully something will turn around and we can use all of this. We don't want to wish a drought or problems anywhere around the world in production and growing the crop, but it's going to take something pretty drastic to really change the picture of the impact of the COVID-19 impact on the corn that was used in the markets that were lost because of that disease.
Yeah, I mean, those numbers are pretty staggering from the University of Illinois, saying that on average, $89 per acre will be lost for corn producers. And then you factor in, you know, especially corn producers in this part of the world, they grow other crops that are also suffering price-wise. Personally, do you think that we're needing more assistance for our farmers at this time?
Well, you know, that's a question that I really feel that we've got to do something to maintain our food and fiber production.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we will be working with our board and with our growers to see what it's going to take to, you know, hopefully, you know, keep the doors open to their business, which their farm is their business.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be looking at that. I know Congress has already stated they're going to be looking at the impacts across the board of COVID. There's already been a lot of packages passed that have benefited all types of businesses and agriculture included.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think there's going to have to be some more done if we're going to keep the families out in our rural areas, keep those farms where that we can support those local rural economies. So, yes, I think there's going to have to be more done. To tell you what that's going to be today, that's a hard one to put a handle
yeah.
around, Shannon.
Yeah, no, I mean, I had tried getting a hold of the FSA office when this all began back in March. You know, we were still talking about a potential third round of market facilitation program payments, and that just kind of got thrown out the door. Now we've got this CFAP program for coronavirus food assistance, and a lot of folks have been left out of that, let alone, you know, the amount of people that have been able to get help. And I just... You know, I don't know what the answer is either. That's why I'm asking the question.
Yeah, it's a very challenging question, and hopefully people will understand that, you know, a lot of businesses have been hurt, and in this light, our farmers are all businessmen, and they have certainly been impacted by all of the spill-offs of this lessening of demand. You know, we saw things at grocery stores where they didn't have some of the foods on the shelves.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some of those cases wasn't because there wasn't food available way back down the line. It just couldn't get from point A to point B. You know, the processing plants have had problems. And, you know, it's kind of the first time many of us, myself included, and all the younger folks, have ever seen a time that they couldn't walk in and pick up what they wanted immediately. And it's a new thing we hope they're all aware of, is that if farmers can't produce and it can't be moved down the highways and it can't be processed, then it has a hard time making it to the shelf at the store for them to take home and put on their table. There's a lot of steps along the way, and it begins out on the land.
Absolutely. That's a great way to put it, David. You're right. And I know we'll be checking in with you as we continue through this to see what updates you have regarding that. Those are really all my questions today. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Well, I want to remind our farmers out there that there are a lot of things and paperwork they need to be doing at their local FSA offices. They are open for business by telephone and electronic. You need to call them, schedule your visits, the CFAP payments, signing up for all of the safety net programs. I've got deadlines coming up here just in the next very few days. It's important to get a hold of them. Be sure you're making those connections. So that's one thing I'd like to end with, is for our farmers to be sure they're up to date at their local USDA FSA office.
Again, that is David Gibson, the Executive Director for the Texas Corn Producers. And that's going to wrap up our Friday show for the KGNC Agribusiness News Hour. Please go out there, make it a great day. I am your Ag News Director, Shannon Gray.